This morning, isn't God good? I don't know if y'all have felt out there what I felt up here. I hope you have. But the presence of God is here this morning. As Steph was singing all the songs that she sang about, you know, breakthrough and burdens, and it really goes to what I'm talking about this morning. I'm going to try to keep it together. But the Lord has just been heavy. I've just felt a heaviness lately. His presence has been heavy. And my desire for not just me to feel it, but for all of you guys to feel it also. So, if you're visiting this morning, thanks for being here. Thanks for supporting these, I think it's all just kids that we have getting baptized today, but we've already baptized, what did we count? Like 13, 16, I don't even know, because we did last Sunday, Wednesday night, and it's just been all week, and it's really awesome. And I'm so thankful and grateful for what God is doing in our students, because it's been all students. And so that's been really awesome. So this morning, I want to talk about seasons. The Lord gave me this message several weeks ago. He was just speaking to my heart during worship. And then Joe was like, hey, I want you to go ahead and just plan to preach this Sunday, because he had procedure this week and he wasn't sure if he would be up for it. And I would rather know in advance than last minute. So, but the Lord is good. So I was thinking about it, you know, in life, we all go through different seasons. A lot of times people will compare it to chapters in a book. But I like to think of it as seasons. And these different times in our lives can represent many different things. They can be for growth, for preparation, for renewal, for refinement, repentance, and multiplication. Much like farming, each season has a purpose. Wintertime is for planning for the next season and maintaining your equipment. Springtime is a season for planting and preparation. Getting the ground ready to be planted can be tedious. Anybody ever have to walk through a field and pick up rocks? Yeah, I knew some of y'all would remember having to do that. And then summertime is a season of growth and care. My least favorite, after living in the middle of beans, rice, and cornfields. Because, you know, crop dusters don't care what time of day they spray the fields. And apparently the one that was 15 feet away from the parsonage was first on his list. I'll never forget the first time that I heard it. Because our bedroom was on the back side of the house, and the metal gym was like right on the other side. I think we maybe had like 30 feet or something like that in between our house and the gym. And it, like, the sound, the way that it just reverberated through there. And it was like, and we had, I mean, Hattie was 1.5, 2. And so everybody was still little. And at that age, moms, you know, you're like, Jesus, please don't let anything wake them up too early. And it was an awful way to wake up in the morning. But the farmers had to take care of their crops, right? They do everything they can to ensure healthy plants and maximum production. Then you get to the fall, the season of harvest, seeing the fruit from your labor. And once the crops are harvested and sold off, a time for rest and resetting. Seasons of winter for us are times that we make plans to grow. We make sure that the soil is fertile. We maintain our relationship with the Lord. Then spring seasons are times of preparation and planting. Because God is making ready our hearts. He's equipping us for things that we need in the next season. This one can be very uncomfortable. Because like the farmer, removing rocks, God may need to remove some things from us. Certain characteristics or habits that will hinder the work he's trying to do in and through us. The rocks aren't removed from the ground just because it's good punishment for kids. You need good soil to grow a good crop. It helps produce more crop and it protects the equipment. Having to remove a rock from a disc, I've watched videos, that does not look like it would be a fun gig. Like, there's some, it's like the wife driving the disc, and she's, like, trying to do it because her husband's on a different tractor, and she doesn't want to have to interrupt what he's doing. Like, can you imagine how many times that happens? It's not fun to have to do stuff like that because it takes up valuable time, but it has to be done. I came across a video of a guy. He had just, like, a little spot in his yard in the grass, really nice, pretty green grass, that it wouldn't grow grass. So he did some investigation. He dug out a little square where the grass was dead and got down to a rock. And as he began to dig a little further, dig a little wider, he had this like ginormous boulder in the middle of his yard, and that's why the grass wouldn't grow. How many rocks are hiding underneath the surface? And we're wondering, why aren't I growing? Why aren't things changing? God, why don't I feel you? Why don't I feel your presence, your spirit? Because there's things deep down there inside that we got to let him dig out. And that process is uncomfortable. Most of the time you can't see them, but you know they're there. And it also matters what we're planting. We have to remember that some crops need certain environments. In Galatians 6, 7 through 10, it says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially though to those in the family of faith." We aren't out here planting wheat and expecting to grow potatoes, right? You will produce some sort of fruit, but it will be what you're planting, not something completely different. If we don't like the outcome, maybe we should take a harder look at what we're planting. We also need to check the environment in which we're planting. Certain environments that Joe and I have lived in have produced different things in each one of us. Different places that we've been, situations that we've been in, hardships that we've went through, haven't been the exact same experience for each one of us. The years that we were evangelists, that built your faith. Because you ain't got nothing but God. We had no other option but to trust him. When we were in a time of waiting to pastor a church, God prepared us and he built up our resilience. Some of y'all might call it hard-headedness. Going to a place like Umphrey, I experienced loneliness, stretching, and hatred like I had never before, but it gave me thicker skin And it diminished my care for how others saw me. Because if I'm doing what God asks of me, saying what he wants me to say, then in my eyes, if you have an issue with those things, you can take it to him. Because if I'm just out here following Jesus, sometimes, you know, Jesus doesn't ask you to do things and they always make sense. Really. I heard somebody say that it should make sense a couple weeks ago, and I was like, then who are we listening to? Because he asks us to do crazy things all the time. You know, it does not always make sense, the things that he asks us to do. A few years ago, when Joe started talking about open a feed store, I was like, another thing, you know? Really? I don't know about that. And then we went to a conference, and they called everybody down for the altar, and I had come in, I think that was when the kid broke her toe. Something had happened, and I had come in, so I was in a different place in the altar area than Joe was. And the speaker had us do this thing where we, like, whatever word you felt that God was giving you, just one word, we called it out. And so they had somebody, like, writing all the words down, and then they read through it at the end. It was really cool. Like, it made sense together. Really awesome. So after the altar, Joe and I come together, and, you know, it's kind of like, as a couple, like, well, what did God say? You know, well, what did he say to you? You know, what was the word? And he gave us both the same word, and the word was risk. Like, if nothing else explains how our relationship with the Lord works, that's like what he asks us to do all the time. But then you get into summer seasons. Summer seasons are for growing in our relationship with God. And if taking risks don't grow your relationship with God, you're doing it wrong. If you're out there, a lot of you garden, and you know that this would be the time that you're out in the hot sun, pulling weeds, picking bugs off your plants. You're working on your spiritual growth, and things are going to come up that will either hinder your growth like weeds to a plant, or we get it out so it doesn't affect the fruit we produce any longer. John 15:5-8 says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." In the harvest season, you've made it through some hard things. You can see what God has produced in you and the fruit that he has used you to produce. A time of rest, a time of reflection on the goodness of God. A time to honor what God has done. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine." Some seasons have required faith and trust. There were some really hard times when we were on the evangelistic field. There were months I remember we preached one service. And depending on what church you went to, determine the rest of the month. Why else do you think Joe's the king of the side hustle? We had to just do what we had to. And it was hard. Sometimes those seasons bring out fears that we didn't even realize we had. There were, you know, you guys know that we gave our salary up in 2024. Before we left Umphrey, we did that out of necessity for the church because we didn't want to see the church no longer exist. So we did it. That was hard. That was rough. If it wasn't for Convoy of Hope picking up food and stuff like that, I don't know how we would have eaten. And then we came here. So Joe has shared his perspective on last year. So let me share my perspective. So summer of 2023, I was listening to a podcast. Some of my friends pastor a church in Louisiana, and we're like those friends that you just kind of pick up after how many ever months where you left off before, and we don't talk just all the time, and because their pastors were, life's busy. So I'm listening to this and them talk about they gave up their salary at their church. They're in a building program similar to what we were doing at the time, and oh, it's like I was cleaning the women's bathroom in the gym, I think, and it was like a stab to my heart, and God's like, I'm going to ask you to do that. And I was like, God, how in the world? How could we do that? So the year goes on, and the one thing that I said to God is like, I ain't telling Joe Garner. You're going to have to do that. Because that sounded crazy to me. And then the year went on, and there were actually several just financially draining things that happened before the end of the year, and then it was time. We had a plan. It looked feasible. We do budgets. If you don't do a budget, you don't know where your money goes, guys. Do a budget, okay? So sat down. We did the budget. The year started. We thought, we can do this. We're going to be okay. God's going to take care of us. He's done it before. And then I can't remember. I feel like it was Tuesday night at youth camp. I can't remember exactly what night. But we were singing this song in worship. It was like, I think it was in the altar time, and then they were playing some songs during the altar, and we were singing this song, and it says, I want more of you, God. And there that stab was in the heart again. And he said, well, what if I ask you for more? And I was like, are you serious? Like, really? And when Joe came to me later that week with that face, I knew exactly. I knew before the words even came out of his mouth. And the Lord asked us to give up my salary too. So then I was like, well, there's nothing to budget anymore, so we're just living on prayers at that point. And I think that we started July 1st last year, and I think people had a misconception of, oh, but you have these businesses. Oh, that's going to pay for it. Oh, that's how you're going to survive. But it wasn't like that. The line item in the budget for animals, that was the feed store. It took care of all that. And it's itself, its property, things. And, you know, we hadn't been long enough for us to pay everything off when we started it. So it was just like, well, we can make those payments, but as far as other things, God, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to provide. And then you guys took up all those gift cards for us. So I figured it up, told it out. Okay, God, I got this for each month. I think we can make it. I think that we can survive. And that meant so much to us, for you guys to show that you cared. Some seasons, like that season, require strength and grit. Because in those times, we can experience an overwhelming emotional exhaustion and burnout. Honestly, that was us at the end of last year. Me more so than Joe. So we've had to practice being more intentional with taking time for ourselves, for each other, for our kids. And we did a lot of really hard things during that year. We did some crazy things in that year. But I know that it was all directed by God. We sacrificed some dreams. And our kids sacrificed too. They had to work so hard. And that season has pushed us to do more fun things with them this year. And I think that they're enjoying that, I hope. If you hear them complaining, get on to them. Some seasons that we go through require trust and patience in the waiting. I think about the years that when we were trying to start a family. And then in between Hattie and Sapphira, that was... We had tried for 2.5 years. Just waiting, and our friends seemed to be having no problem. When we were feeling the call to pastoring from evangelizing, we were in that limbo season for like 4 years. It felt like that the 10 years of ministry experience that we had had at that point meant nothing. It was hard to be patient. It was hard to trust. Some seasons are happy and joyful and full of love. When Sapphira and Manasseh were born, I think about just the love, the excitement that filled the house during those times. And God completed our family. I think about the process that we've been through almost the last 18 years of marriage. Now think about the process that Joseph went through in Scripture. Watching the dreams that he had had being fulfilled through pain and suffering, but because of what he experienced, God was able to save his people. He experienced betrayal and lies, but he had position because of what he went through. He was wise. He was a good leader because of what he had experienced. He was able to have joy when he was reunited with his family, and God was present in every single step. The hard ones, the easy ones, the sad ones, and the happy ones. Seasons bring different attributes into our lives. They grow us in ways that we otherwise wouldn't. They strengthen and prepare us for the next season. We may look back and wish for who we were and how things were to be the same again, but the thing is that our seasons change us. We are no longer the same. Those seasons refine us. He is making us into a new creation, and that is a process. We may see the change as it's happening, but God is never completely finished with us. The enemy will try to stomp out the good God is doing. He will try to make a mess out of it and defeat the process. But we have to continue looking to Jesus. He had to endure unimaginable pain during his few years on earth. But all these seasons serve his purpose. If we remain true to God, true to our faith, his purposes will be fulfilled in those seasons. Listen, it doesn't make sense for you to try to fight him. Because why be in a hard season any longer than you have to? Do you know how many times that I've prayed, Lord, please help me to learn whatever lesson it is that you're trying to teach me in this season so it can be over? Anybody there? But pay attention to those times. Write things down. Because then you have a visual of what you received in that season. Sometimes in those seasons, God is trying to bring things out of us for good. Not that we need to get rid of, but to show us things that we possess that we did not know were there. He gives us gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. As I was thinking about the scripture Wednesday night during the altar time, I was praying with a student. And I'd asked him what, you know, I needed to pray for. And, okay, started praying and prayed for those things and just prayed for what I felt the Lord laying on my heart. And afterwards, they asked me, how did you know to pray for that? And I was like, Jesus? The Spirit? Like, you know. And that's one of those gifts. That's one of those things that it doesn't have to be something up in front of the entire church or that everybody can hear. Just praying with somebody. Praying how you feel, the direction that you feel God is leading you to pray. And that is a testament to God. That is a testament to the Spirit operating in you. That's a testament to the Spirit operating in our church. Sometimes it may take us out of our comfort zone. But God does some really cool things when we get away from being comfortable. So what season are you in today? Do you need to remove some rocks from your life so God can plant something inside of you that will grow? Or maybe he's asked you to do something that you haven't done yet. Are you living out a testimony in your difficult seasons? Are we living a life that is encouraging to others who are also walking in hard seasons? instead of wishing death, are we living each day to the fullest? How are you praising God despite the circumstances of your season? Stand with me this morning. Father, I thank you, God, for the different seasons that we walk through in life. God, I thank you that as we walk through those hard ones, we know that you are there and we are not alone. That when we walk through the happy and joyous seasons, God, that we know that you are still there. God, I thank you for the lessons. I thank you for the process. Because we would not be who we are without you taking us through those seasons. If you're in this place this morning and you feel like, yeah, I'm walking through a hard season, let us pray. Because we believe that God answers prayers. We believe that he meets needs. We believe that he can move when nobody else believes that he can. When everybody's lost hope, he can give hope. So if you're in this place and you're going through a hard season, let us pray with you this morning. Maybe you're in this place and you would say, I don't really know how I feel about all this, but I know that something is missing in my life. Would you let Jesus begin to do a work in your life this morning? If you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to take this opportunity to begin that relationship, then I urge you this morning to come forward and let us pray with you. Maybe you're in this place and you would say, Pastor Chelsea, There's got to be something buried down deep inside because I don't feel like I'm growing. I'm not feeling God. I'm not hearing him speak to me. Maybe you need to dig up some rocks this morning. So if that's you and you feel like that there's something that you need to take care of in this at this altar, then I want you to come forward this morning. Because in order to grow, in order to produce fruit, we have to let God take care of those things. We can't continue to hold it in. There are several up here for prayer this morning. If there are any of you that you would say, yeah, I've walked through some hard seasons, and you've come out the other side, would you come and pray with these that are up here this morning? Because you understand more than anybody else where they are. Lord, I thank you. If there's anybody else and you just feel like, I just need prayer, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going through your mind, you would just say, I just need somebody to pray for me. We had a student Wednesday night that came to me after service. I know he goes to church, but he came and told me that Wednesday night was the first time in over 4 years that anybody had prayed with him, and that broke my heart. Church, we are a family,
and we hurt for each other. And we can come together for each other. So would you do that this morning? Would you come and pray?